Again tonight, I want to tell you that Carol and I are delighted to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation to come and be with you this week, and Lord willing, next week also. Tonight, I want us to speak about, for a few moments, about that we are at war. The passage that was read by Brother Ronnie, and then some of the different songs that Brother Spicer has led for us, speaking about this warfare that we're involved in. People might say, as we say we are at war, they might say, well, what do you mean? We are finally pulling out of Afghanistan after 20 plus years. We are pulling out of our troops out of Iraq. We have an enemy. Again, the question, well, who is it? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it Iran? Is it North Korea? You turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We'll look at three different passages. And these passages teach us and tell us that our enemy, our most important enemy, is Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And then the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, verse 44. Our Lord speaking about our enemy, the devil. He has this to say about him. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Again, these three passages speaking about our enemy, Satan. Again, we are at war. I'd like to, for you, turn again to Ephesians chapter 6. When Brother Ronnie was reading that, I don't know if you kind of guess that's what we're going to talk about tonight or not, but we'll go back and let's read that again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. I noticed the translation that he was reading said the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, and again that translation he read, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he says, stand therefore. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through verse 24. The Apostle Paul says, again, Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. For those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, we are at war. Our enemy is Satan. There's a spiritual battle, and that's what Paul was speaking about there in Galatians chapter 5. There is a spiritual battle going on in the hearts and minds of the Christians then, and in the hearts and minds of me and you today, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, how do we handle that spiritual warfare that goes on in our minds and our hearts today? How do we handle that? Do we go down to Barnes and Noble and buy some self-help books? Probably written by antagonistic people, writers that are against Christianity and so on. Probably. What about going to a psychologist and get on his couch and or her couch and pay $150 to $200 to $300 an hour and just let you kind of mumble along to them? What about that? What about going and being on Dr. Phil's show and let him try to take care of you? How do we handle this spiritual battle that's going on in the hearts and minds of our brothers and sisters and of ourselves also? I've got two suggestions. One, turn to God. Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul he says in verse 15 again, Romans chapter 7, for what I am doing, he says, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. And then he continues on in similar language like that, and he's speaking about this spiritual battle that goes on in our hearts and our minds. And I'm going to go down to verse 21. He says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God. Who's going to deliver me and you from this spiritual battle that's going on in our hearts and minds that's led by Satan? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. How do we handle this battle, this warfare that's going on? Again, I would suggest first of all that we turn to God. And then second of all, I would suggest we turn to our own selves. Turn with me just from my Bible, just flipping the page, the one page, Romans chapter 6. We'll start with verse 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, look to yourself. He says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to look inwardly as we think about this spiritual battle that we're in. Now, as we read that passage, people of the world, as we'd say that you're enslaved to sin, what would they say? They would say, I am not a slave to anyone. I'm not a slave to my job. I'm not a slave to strong drink. I'm not a slave to drugs. I'm not a slave to immorality and so on. I'm not a slave to anyone or anything. Oh, really? What did Paul say in verse 16? He said, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. He says, you are enslaved to sin. I want to use an example now for us to think about for a moment. And I want us to think about pornography. Pornography. I was watching, now this was 3 or 4 years ago. And this person was a denominational person, but speaking of religion in America and people attending church services on Sunday and so on, and again, I'm sure he did not have Church of Christ in mind, but he's just talking about religion in general. In the United States, on any particular Sunday, and especially talking about men attending church services on Sunday and so on, and he said this, 60 to 70% of men that attend church services any particular Sunday, that they are sexually addicted to pornography. I hope your ears kind of popped open and mouth dropped like mine did when I first heard that. 60 to 70% of men that attend church service any particular Sunday in America, they're addicted to pornography? I hope that's not true, and I pray that it's not true, and especially I pray that it's not true in the Church of Christ. Now, thinking of those statistics and thinking about, it was 89, according to the board, 89 here this morning, and I didn't get any count of the men and so on, but if you just dropped it down to 50%, just think how many men this morning would be addicted to pornography. Are we naive enough to think that none, no man here this morning was addicted to pornography? The sins that I read there that Paul mentions in Galatians chapter 5, and now specifically we're talking about pornography, these sins are progressive and they're destructive. Progressive and destructive. I want to give a little example to you. I was preaching at Clearview down in Hickman County, and I started helping teach the young adult class. The young adult class were from about 20 to 65 years of age. Young adults. Young adult class. So, I wasn't the only teacher. Stephen Beard was the other teacher, and we just rotated. He'd teach a month, and then I'd teach a month, and I was a little more long-winded than him, and so I'd ask for an extra month or extra 2 months. He was very glad to give me that. So sometimes my power was 2 months, 3 months, and so on. But anyway, in this particular time frame, we were studying about different sins and so on, and effects on Christians and so on. And so I announced to the class next Sunday, I'm going to teach about pornography in the class. And so that night, the youth minister came to me, and he said, I understand you're going to speak about pornography next Sunday morning in the young adult class. And he said, would you mind if I brought my senior class or my high school class up to be a part and to hear that lesson? And I said, well, that'd be fine with me. And then he said this. He said, you have a lady in there that she has pornography on her phone. He says, you have a lady in your class that you have pornography on your phone. He didn't say which one. I didn't ask which one. But he said, you've got a lady sitting in your class that has pornography on her phone. And so, sometimes we think about when we hear numbers and statistics and so on, 60-70% and that type of stuff and so on, we think, oh, well, those are just numbers, but they're not just numbers, they're people. And sometimes they're people in our congregations. In most cases, whether it's pornography or sexual immorality, which that would be a part of that, drug abuse, drinking and so on, those things are not the problem, but a symptom of the problem. The problem is allowing the enemy Satan into our hearts and minds. That's the problem. Will you turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 1 through 3? Luke chapter 22, verse 1, 2, and 3. Luke says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. How would anyone be so evil that they would deliver over the Son of God to be put to death? Luke tells us how and why. He allowed Satan to enter into his heart and his mind. And so as we think about sin, and just use pornography as an example, and again, it could be drug abuse, it could be other types of sexual immorality, and so on and so forth. These are a symptom of the problem. The problem is allowing the enemy into our hearts and our minds. Very important question is, how does that begin then? How does it begin? Where and when are we vulnerable? And make sure that Satan knows where, and he knows when, that we are vulnerable. It might be because of stress. It might be because we're wounded. It might be because, as we spoke a little bit about in our lesson this morning, we think no one cares. It might be we're bored. It might be we're curious. It might be because someone has abused us. And so we have become vulnerable. And again, Satan knows. Very, very important question then. As we're speaking about being at war and that we have an enemy, very important question, is defeat assured? Will you turn with me to the book of James, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we'll read, starting with verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. While you're turning your Bibles, I love to hear that. I can't hear it when you're turning with your phone. You know I'm old-fashioned. Barely. Well, I start to say barely able to use it. I'm a little bit better than that, but love to hear those pages turn. James chapter 1. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it brings birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Again, as we look at that passage, we ask, is defeat assured then? Every time I read that passage, I'm reminded when my first year out of college, I was working for Tennessee Farmers Co-op, and it was my great pleasure to take students from all over the state of Tennessee up to Ohio State University. We did not, me and one other guy got this assignment. Now, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek, it was my pleasure. We got the assignment to babysit those 60, 100, whatever they were, kids for that entire week. Now, they're supposed to be the cream of the crop from all over the state of Tennessee. Now, again, thinking about just what we just read, if you know anything about Ohio State University, and I suppose it hasn't changed in the last 30 or 40 years, over on the far side of campus, there's a whole row of bars and all that kind of stuff, and where they were smoking marijuana and doing other things. It was kind of a little bit of the beginning of the hippie stuff coming out and so on, you know, in public and so on, and smoking marijuana in public. And so they were doing it out there on the street and everything. Well, that was a magnet for some of our cream of the crop from the state of Tennessee. And so me and my buddy, that we got this wonderful assignment, we would spend way up into the night and the wee hours of the morning going in there and getting them out of the bars. And I can just imagine them being that far away from home, and they walk by and they see all that stuff and they go on. Well, you know, Mom and Daddy taught me not to do that stuff. And then they walk again later that night or the next night, and they look over and they say, oh, that's interesting, curious. And then they go and they peep in the door and so, well, it doesn't look so bad, not near as bad as Mom and Daddy taught me. And then they go in and they start taking part of what was going on in there. And my wonderful job was going there and drag them out of there. A lot of them, they weren't too happy with that either. So I always think of that when I read this passage here of what James talks about in being tempted to sin. Again, the question then is defeat assured then, as we read that passage? Well, another question, well, how do we win? Well, in James chapter 1, verse 12, before he started this about speaking about how one is tempted and so on, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Then we can turn to the 16th and 17th verses. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us up forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Then we'll go to verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He's talking about victory, isn't he? So, is defeat assured? No. Through the word of God and obedience to the word of God, we can have victory assured for us. By God's grace, by the blood of Jesus, and by our faithfulness, James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Again, God's grace, the blood of Jesus, our faithfulness, James says we have victory. The victory is ours. We are at war. Satan is our enemy. Can we win? James says yes. The victory is ours. Praise God for that. Tonight, as we think about defeat, We think about warfare. We think about victory. The victory is ours, but we have to come to Jesus. The victory is in Jesus. And we want to encourage you, as the song that's been chosen for tonight, if you need to come to Jesus tonight, we pray that you come right now as we stand and as we sing.